Well, I'm really excited because, one, I left my notes at home, so that's always going to be a good day.
Oh, it's always a good day.
Greg likes me to always leave my notes at home.
It doesn't go well when there's notes in the house.
And I'm also excited because I get to share about one of my absolute favorite things in the whole world, and I get to share it in front of my kiddos for the first time really ever. So I'm really, really jazzed about that, and I'm just going to ask for Miss Jocelyn and Miss Jill and Miss Christy to just kind of keep an eye on my kiddos and anyone sitting next to them if you don't mind. This is the week we're going to stay incorporated, and then we might try a week where we have kids sitting at separate tables. Yeah, so we're staying incorporated this week. We're trying different things with kids and adults together. So I'm really, really excited, and so I'm just going to start us off in prayer if you don't mind. Lord, I remember praying when I was a little girl, almost every single day for a long, long time, that I would get to hear your voice and that I could talk to you and that you would be close to me and that I could see you and experience you for real. And it took a lot of years for that to happen, but it finally happened. And today, I feel like I get to share with kids for the first time ever about the things that I dreamed of when I was their age. So Holy Spirit, would you help make this really real, because it's probably the most exciting thing of my life, is to get to know you, Lord, get to know you, Holy Spirit, and get to know you, Jesus, and get to have real conversations with you while I'm still living here on earth. So, yay, you guys, and yay, us. Amen. I think that was kind of the oddest prayer I've ever prayed, and I kind of liked it. Okay. So, how many of you have ever, you know, last week, right, we talked about many of the different ways that God talks to us. Can we just, like, take a little quick review of some of the ways that God talks to us that we talked about last week that we found in Scripture? Taylor.
Visions.
Elements like
earth,
yes,
fire,
yes,
water,
through snow, nature, through the elements, yes, absolutely. Stella,
dreams.
Through dreams, good. Eli,
animals.
I know. Has anybody had an animal actually talk to them in a human voice? Because I have not had that happen, but that would just like totally freak me out. But it would be awesome. No, nobody's a taker on that. Okay, Stella,
face to face.
Face to face with God. Woo woo, it happens. Okay. Who else? Did you have one? Is that yours? Okay. Miss Jackson. Through angels. And there were a couple people who said they thought maybe they had a physical encounter with a physical angel. I have not. Who was that? Is that you, Kristen? Yeah? Okay, I'll hear that story. Anybody want to ask her that story afterwards? And then who else said that they thought they might? Seriously? Oh, okay. I'll come back to you. And then you have had a physical, of course you've had a physical encounter. This is Miss Death. Has had a physical encounter with an angel. Anyone else? Okay. Yes, another one.
Friends.
Yes, God speaks to us through friends. Absolutely. And another way. Yes.
Family.
Through family. You're so right. God does speak to us through family. Okay. Anyone else? Yes.
Through our conscience.
Yes, through our conscience. So how we're like. Would you describe what that means to you, Dan, so that I can make sure I don't interpret it wrong?
Just like feelings, emotions.
How you're thinking, what you're, yeah, aware of in your head? Absolutely. Yes. That's one of my favorite ways. Yes. Okay, that's okay. We'll come back. Anyone else?
Music.
Speaks to us through music. Yep. Go ahead, Eli.
Prophecy.
Your prophecy. Yeah, telling us what he thinks is going to happen. That can be through a person, it can be through a thought. Yes.
School.
Yes. He so does take us to school, and sometimes God talks to us through school for sure. Wow, that made hands raise. Yes, Taylor.
Dates.
Through dates?
Yeah,
oh, the dates. Numbers. Yes, that's, yes.
Very. Not like numbers, but like if you had a date with God.
Oh, if you had a date, okay, I'm sorry, I totally misunderstood. Numbers, and also if you had a date with God. Yes, good, yes, Monet. That's okay. Take a moment. Okay. Yes.
Through the Bible.
Through the Scripture. I love that we're like on number 12 and the Scripture comes up. Like. Okay, sorry, that was a win. Go ahead.
Prayer.
fragrance, through smell. Do you know that I met a guy who he would have a smell come on the palm of his hand when God was speaking to him about somebody else? And what he would do was he would smell his hand and he would go, I'm smelling like oil, like when you repair a car. And the person would go, and he's like, so that means something to you. And he's like, that's what I used to do with my dad. And my dad just passed. And that was like the most important thing that we ever did together was work on the car. And he goes, well, I feel like God's wanting to say to you, you know, he wants to spend that kind of time with you. He's like, oh, you know, like, or he'd go, I'm smelling like apple pie with like rhubarb. And the person would be like, no, that would, you know, like my mom won the apple pie contest with rhubarb when, you know, well, you know. So he had smells, and I met the guy who did this, and the friend who did it with him was like in total judgment about this. I mean, would anybody else be like in total judgment? That's like totally wrong, right? Except for the fact that it so blessed people. And so the friend of mine who had met this guy who did it, he was like, Lord, I don't think that's for real. Like, seriously, I don't think that's for real. And the Lord goes, well, you're never really going to experience anything that you judge. So why don't you let go of the judgment and see? And he's like, I don't know that I want to have smells on the palm of my hand. And he goes, really? That's a bummer. And so he decided that he was good with that idea. And just about a week later, he asked the guy if he could stand next to him while he ministered in it. And then he started to like feel some warmth on his hand. And he goes, I think I might like have something happening. And he goes, good, dude, go for it. And he went, I'm smelling chocolate chip cookies. And the person was totally touched and moved by it. So, and actually, that's in Proverbs. We looked up that scripture about fragrance, that God speaks to us through fragrance. Okay, yes. I love that you're jumping in. Go ahead.
I'm swimming in the pool.
So, God speaks to me through swimming in the pool all the time, by the way, just so you know. I think that's a genius. Yes. Yes. Sorry.
Like if you see, I don't know, like something.
Okay. So I love that you brought that up. She says if you see objects or things and it triggers something in your mind, there's a scripture for this that God speaks to us through our remembrances. And sometimes an object can trigger that. It's almost like a deja vu feeling. And there's a gentleman that I met who that is the primary way that God speaks to him, is through objects, and he has a sense of deja vu, and he asks God, what does that mean? And God speaks to him through that. How cool is that? I just love it. Okay, one more.
I think I may have had that deja vu thing, but I didn't realize it was because I'm having a lot of those deja vu moments.
Really? Well, that's fun.
Jack had something.
Oh, yeah, Jack.
Yeah, through pictures.
Through pictures. That's like one of my favorite. There are a lot of people who don't. God doesn't speak to them through pictures, but he speaks to me a lot through pictures. So I'm glad you remembered that one. Okay, last two. Go ahead.
Through colors.
Through colors. I was just talking to someone about colors. Miss Bianca, she knows a lot about spiritual representation of colors, and so does Miss Jocelyn. I love that. Thank you. Okay, yeah.
Hi, Dean.
Sorry, that was over dramatic. That is the number one time that I talk to God, is when I'm hiking. I'm so glad you thought of that, because that is like when I'm moving and breathing hard, and that's when God, yeah, puffing and puffing, God and I have it out.
And blowing the house down.
Right, pretty much. So, I used to always wonder if what I was hearing, seeing, perceiving was actually God or if it wasn't God. Anybody ever wonder that? Is this God actually talking to me? Is this my brain? Is this just weird random thoughts? Does this have any meaning? Does it not have any meaning? When does something have meaning? When does it not? When is it God? When is it not? And when is it maybe negative and not God at all? Anybody ever have that question? That's been like the question of my life. It's been the question, is this God? Is this not? Is it just me? Or is it actually something negative and it's not him at all and I should actually not listen to it? And so many people would call that a specific word. Anybody guess what that one word is?
Confusion.
Discernment is really close. Wisdom. In fact, Jesus had a parable saying that if you found the pearl of great price, which is wisdom, you would bury it in a field, sell everything that you had to obtain it. Because wisdom is the way that all great decisions and great all lives are lived, is by wisdom. And I remember thinking that wisdom was like the ability to discern things, right? Wisdom is a concept. Wisdom is a way to do things. And then the Lord totally interrupted me about 8 years ago, and he said, I want to tell you about wisdom. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? And if any of the kids are like a little too, we have nursery available if you want. Totally don't need to, but we have it if you want it. And then kids will, you will go actually to children's ministry in about, like I think it's about 8 minutes. So the Lord talked to me about wisdom. And he said, I want you to go look up wisdom in Proverbs. And here's what Proverbs says about wisdom. It says, I, wisdom, I dwell with prudence, and I find out knowledge and discretion. And it goes on and says, I, wisdom, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. Now, I kind of was freaking out about this, to be honest with you, because I was like, wisdom isn't a thing. It's not a concept. It's actually it's a person. Did any of you ever think about that? That the ability to discern what's God and what's not God is actually a person? And if I could talk to this person could help me know. In fact, wisdom is saying, before the world was here, before anything was here, I existed. And here's what's really fun. He says, before there was anything on the earth, before there was primal dust, before there was even the established clouds, I was there beside him as a master craftsman. So if anybody's even trying to understand, how is the world work? How do I function in the world? He's saying, I was there. So if you want to understand how things are, I, wisdom, am the one who can help you because I was here when everything was set up. So cool. And it says, I, wisdom, was daily God's delight, rejoicing always before God, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was the sons of men. What this person is saying is, I existed before time, I existed before the world, I helped God make the world, and I totally didn't need my own phone. Something like that. So rude. And I, this person of wisdom, who knows so much, daily dance before God regarding you. Did you know that? The person of wisdom who knows everything is dancing before God in your life every single day. In fact, this person of wisdom knows you so well that this person of wisdom can help you get to know yourself. And I was like, well, who is this person of wisdom? And it was kind of like I felt the Holy Spirit just pop up and go, that's me. That's me. I was here before time. I helped create the world. I know who you are, and I know how things work. And if you want to know the Father, if you want to know your life, and you even want to know yourself, then you get to know me. And how is it that we come in contact with the Holy Spirit? How is it that we get to have the Holy Spirit be in our lives to speak to us? How is it? How do we get the Holy Spirit and access to hearing the Holy Spirit really, really well? One, we just ask. But two, it is Jesus who made our partnership with the Holy Spirit possible. It's Jesus who made that. In fact, it says right here in Proverbs that I have created a meal. I, wisdom, have made a house. And in that house, I have bread and wine. What does bread and wine represent in Scripture? You know, Stella. That's right. Bread represents Jesus' body. Blood represents his blood, or the wine represents his blood. And so I, wisdom, have prepared a meal for you, a bread and wine, and you can come and eat and get to know wisdom. But it also says there's another source of information that's wanting to bring you in and have you kind of take its advice. And it's called the foolish woman or foolishness. So there's two sources of information on the earth. One of them is the Holy Spirit, and the other one is not. And that's like a house of foolishness. And in that house, there is bread and stolen water, stolen bread and water. And it says, in that house, and this is Proverbs 8 and 9, it's my favorite verses ever. In that house, this same person calls in those who are on their way and says, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But that person who eats in that house does not know that the dead are there and the guests are in the depths of hell. So there is this person of wisdom who wants to invite us in to pretty much everything that's going on and who we are. And wants, are you ready for this? Do you guys know, kids, do you know that you did not begin in your mom's tummy? Like, that's not where you began. Do you know, hang on, Eli. Do you know that you began in God's imagination? You began when God imagined the most beautiful and perfect person that he could think of. And he said, Monet, Jack, Stella, Eli, he said to every single one of us, that person is so magnificent, I need to make you real. And because he agreed with the idea of you, you became you. And it is this person, this master craftsman, the Holy Spirit, who knows who you were made to be in God's imagination. And it is this person who wants to introduce us to ourselves. Because what happens in life is that we get what? Hurts, we get pains, we get difficulties, we get struggle. And sometimes we behave in ways that are not the way that God originally designed us. Has anybody done that? Have any of you behaved in ways that you know God didn't originally design you? Have any of you done that today? Have any of you done that this week? And when you have those hurts and pains, sometimes you start to agree that that's actually who you are. In fact, you might even say to yourself, oh, I'm a bad kid. Or you might say, I'm an angry dad. Or you might say, I'm an impatient mom. You might agree with statements that are not true about you at all. And do you know what you need then? You need the person of wisdom who can sort it out. And do you know what wisdom literally means? Are you ready? This is the best. Because who is the wisest person in the world that we know historically? Solomon. And Solomon asked for wisdom. And the literal translation of what Solomon asked for was the ability to separate light from dark. Just read it? Yes. So what Solomon was asking for was the ability to know what's God and what's not God. And isn't that what we all kind of want to know? Like, God speaks to us in all these ways. He speaks to us through nature. He speaks to us through maybe a vision or through a dream. Or maybe we perceive something in our mind and we're going, is that really God? Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit will help us be able to determine what's God, what's light, and what's not. So I'm going to pull up two boards, and we're going to take just a couple of minutes because I want us to do something. We're going to take this and roll it in. I want you to grab a crayon. Yep, we're going to give you a chance. We'll put up two boards. We're just going to pull the paper over so that we can. Oh, that is good. You can just lay that down. What I want you to do is think of something that you have heard said about you or that you think about you that you now realize is not what God says about who you are. Okay? We're going to put it on this one, right here. This is like, we're going to just put, this is like a lie. So if you put just right at the top, a lie. And on this one, we're going to put the truth. To take a moment and think about something that you feel, and come on up to this side. And Greg, if you'll grab one more board so that we have a little bit more room for everyone to come up. What? You can go now. and come up and write one thing that you're like, you know what, this is something I struggle with. I struggle with believing that I am this. And I want you to come over here and go, you know what, here's really actually what's the truth. I may not behave like this all the time, but here's the truth. So adults and kids, take a moment to participate, please.
If you're not comfortable writing or coming up, that's okay. Or if you just want to come up and put something down that represents what the lie is, that is fine too. Definitely make sure you come over to the truth board if you've put up a lie.
What I'm loving is seeing parents and kids coming up together. Kind of just taking a moment and together. So I'm going to read just a few of the things on this board. If you haven't written, go ahead and feel free to come up. But this one says, too happy, forgetful, selfish, mean and messy, abusive. I like that picture. Stupid. Not a good listener and I don't fit in. Bossy, critical, annoying, lazy, invisible. Cray cray. Angry, addicted, and ego. Things and all of the things in your heart that have ever been said to you, that have hurt you, that have, and your own very own behavior that has behaved in this way, I want you to take a moment and realize that when God made you, He did not make you any one of these things. He did not make you any one of these things. So what causes this? What causes this? What causes this are hurt and pain and pressures, other people's behavior, our inability to know any different. What causes this is stuff on the earth, and it convinces us that we're something that we're not. And then we start to live that reality. What are some of the things that are the truth about us? That we do have a good memory. That we are a leader or an encourager. A woman of faith. A great person to talk to. Yay! Hardworking. Creative. Loving, timely, and calm. Grateful. Perfect.
elegance?
Perfect amount of happiness.
Perfect amount of happiness. The perfect amount of happiness. Very good. Powerfully loved, steadfast in truth, breath, kind, free. Heaven is my home. I am enthusiastic. I am good and smart and kind. There is a vision that the Holy Spirit has of who you are. There is a commitment that all of heaven has to who you are. There is a commitment to this vision that the Holy Spirit has, and the Holy Spirit is so relentless in proving to you who you are. Isn't that good news? Woo! So next week, we're going to talk more about this, but tonight, kids are going to head on out with Miss Jill, and maybe Miss Christie also, is that right? Kids are going to, everyone 10 and under will go to children's. 10 and over, you have until, and I'm sorry I took some of your time, so you have until 5:25. Is that all right? Okay. You always say perfect at everything because you're just awesome. You do say yes to everything. So good. So how many of you have already had that conversation with your kids? Lindsay's had that conversation. How many of you have already had that kind of conversation with your kids? How many of you, when you are parenting, are learning to parent your kids based on their identity and not on their behavior? Is that mess with your whole concept of parenting? I feel like it does, because I feel like
it messes with ours.
It messes with ours. When we first started exploring some parenting, what we want to do is like fix the behavior, which means that you bring attention to behavior. But unfortunately, what it does is it sometimes continues to lock our kids and us into believing that. I mean, any of us have grown up that way? The more you resist it, the more you become it. When the Lord started showing Greg and I about what was the truth about who we are and that our identity is what overcomes behavior, it changed everything. Because it meant that we were no longer talking to each other based on our behavior. We were asking the Lord to show us who we really are so that we could agree with that instead. I was discovering that what I was then doing was partnering with the Holy Spirit in such an alive and vibrant way, and it kind of just rocked my world. So I'm going to take just a couple of minutes and share with you what it was that caused me to really understand. But I'll tell you this piece that I didn't want to say in front of the little kids, which is sometimes it's a lie, but also sometimes it's true. It took me a bazillion years to figure that one out. It's true that you might be angry. It's true that you might be in an addiction. It's true that you might have an ego. It's true, but it's not the truth. So many of the things, I could understand the lies. I could understand people misunderstanding who I was. What was hard for me was, what do you do with when it's true? What if I really am a super messy person? Thanks for saying that. My house right now is super messy, and my standard of cleanliness is way lower than most people's. I mean, I don't like dirt, but I mean, I have clutter, like, kind of around a lot, and I would like for that to be different. But by the way, that's true. It's true. So what would trip me up is that I'd be like, well, that's a lie about you, except for the fact that it's true. Except for that it's not the truth. And that helped both of us, right?
Yes.
Do you want to comment on that?
I'm disagreeing. Go ahead.
It really helped us. So how did we kind of come into this understanding of really partnering with the Holy Spirit and a whole new understanding? I'm going to just tell you. I was driving down the road late at night in Colorado, totally dark, and I saw one of those little chapels. Any of you guys ever seen one of those little chapels out in the middle of, like, nowhere? And you're like, what the heck is this little chapel? You know, who are the people who, like, you know, go to these little chapels out in the middle? We're like 20 miles from an exit. I don't even know how people, like, get to the little chapel. And I was just worshiping the Lord, you know, which was actually nice for me. I'm like, I'm praying and I'm just thanking him. And I'm looking at this little chapel and I was like, Lord, what are you doing in that little chapel? And I just wanted to bless that little chapel. And I noticed, like in the distance, that it had like maybe an owl on top of it. And this owl, like a bird, big owl, was like moving. And as I got closer to it, it stood up, turned towards me, and started yelling at me. And it was at that moment that I realized it was not, I know, have you ever heard, you haven't heard the story yet, have you? I know, my daughter's sharing the story for the first time. It was not an owl. It was some sort of being. And it started cussing at me. Why the, do you want to know what's going on in this? And I could hear it with my ears in the car. And I'm like, you know, staying on the highway. And Greg's sleeping in the back, and the kids are sleeping in the back, and I'm kind of freaking out because I never really had a creature get up and start yelling at me. That I now realize,
drive anymore.
This is true, he doesn't let me drive anymore. And I was really stunned, and this thing was, yeah, I mean, I passed it, and it was yelling at the back of my head, I'll tell you what's going on here, blah, 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 blah. Yes, Monday. It wasn't an animal. I'm guessing it was some sort of fallen angel creature of some kind. And it was physical. I could physically see it with my eyes. It's the only time I've ever seen anything like that. So it was weird. Right? And it kind of really freaked me out. And I asked the, you can see why I didn't tell the story earlier, right? Note to self. Yay, keep these stories only for the adults. So, I was really stunned, and I was like, what was that? So it wasn't until I got home from the trip in Colorado that I heard from the Lord, because he wouldn't talk to me about it. Do you ever have that happen? You know, like something happens, you want to know, and then God just like is silent on it for a while. And then finally he talks to you, and you're like, really now? So about a week later, the Lord says, you want to talk about what happened on the road to Colorado? And I'm like, yes, I do. And he said, well, let me tell you what that was. And he said, what was it that you were asking about when it happened? And I said, well, I was actually asking you, what's going on with that church? And he said, well, something stood up and told you what was happening at that church. And it did, in very much detail, in graphic language, told me what was happening at that church, and it wasn't pretty. And he said, why didn't you start praying about it? And I said, well, I'm not going to start praying about when a filthy creature tells me is going on at a church. Why would I let that be my guide in what I pray for? I don't want to have anything to do with that. And he goes, oh, really? Really? You don't want to have anything to do with that? And he said, so where do you think your information is coming from when you have negative thoughts about yourself and other people all day long? And it hit me. Creatures like that are giving me negative information to see if I will agree all the time. And what I started to perceive was that most of my day was filled with negative information and assessments that I had all day long. And it was partnered with some filthy, nasty creature that was certainly opposed to me and certainly opposed to humanity. And that really astonished me. And I realized that kind of in that moment, I felt kind of a voice say to me, you kind of have a highway to your brain, a highway of information that's negative about people. You have a highway. And I realized, kind of like I perceived, there is a highway. Did anybody like agree with that? Like, there's a highway. Because I don't know if you know this, but I started to, or I tried to stop listening to negative things about myself and about other people after I had this encounter. And I found it very hard. I realized like there was negative thoughts running through my head all the time. And I was not okay with that. And I'm like, there is a highway. We need to shut down the highway. And the Lord's like, we're not shutting down the highway. I'm like, why? We gotta shut down the highway. He goes, that's my highway. I built that highway. And I'm like, oh, okay. He goes, negativity can't build a highway. Satan can't build a highway. He can't build anything. So that highway that was built for you to be in contact with spiritual beings wasn't meant for negativity. It was meant for me. And it was meant for the angelic host, and it was meant for the Holy Spirit. And as much as you have spent most of your life hearing negative things all the time, I made you to constantly hear positive things. I made you to have it be so easy to hear the agenda of heaven and hear the kindness and goodness of God. I made you to be able to hear these things so easily that you can't not hear them anymore. You can't stop it. You will constantly be consumed all day long with goodness and with the language of heaven about people instead of the language of hell. And that is what started to happen. The Lord was starting to realize, or starting to show me, that who we were made to be was not personality. Anyone, right? People go, I'm just rude because I'm Italian. Really? I don't think your nationality made you rude. Or, you know what, anybody like anybody got a personality trait that they've just kind of said okay to? Or they've just said, I'll just, yeah, that's my personality. Oh, come on, let's be honest here. We're all
right. I'm a Scorpio.
There you go. Right? Right? There's pluses and there are minuses, and you got to take the good with the bad, right?
It's true, but it's not the truth.
Yes! Yes, yes, yes! These personality traits may be true, and I have been taught in all kinds of spiritual gifts classes, you also take the positive of what God gives you, and it also comes with the negative. Except for the fact that none of the negative was imagined in God's mind when he thought of you to begin with. And so all of those, the good news is, the best news of today, is that any of the negatives that you're unhappy with in your life aren't actually you. Aren't actually you. So guess what? They don't need to be counseled out, managed out, or controlled out. They get to be overcome. Does counseling help? Absolutely. Are there lots of ways to overcome? Yeah. There's lots of ways to, but Greg and I were like, we were trying to manage anger out of our home, and we realized, like, it doesn't ever become your pet. It won't ever be tamed. You actually have to overcome it. And there's a way to overcome it. So, like, how exciting is that? Now, recently, Mama's not here. Are you okay talking about some of your recent experiences with, yay, thank you. So Taylor recently came into, about, what, 3-4 months ago, an experience where she perceived her angel. So will you give us a moment and let Taylor come up and sit with me? So Taylor had kind of a moment happen in her bedroom at night, well, in her mom's bedroom, where she became aware of her angel and saw it for the first time and then started to have interactive conversations. And you felt like your brain kind of woke up, right? And what was that? To tell us, give us a couple sentences about what that felt like for you, seeing your angel and what that was. Was it exciting? Was it freaky? Was it scary?
Yeah, it was exciting, but on the other hand, like, I felt like it was a normal thing.
Yeah.
Because I guess, like, since it's my angel, I know my angel.
And it feels really familiar to you. Yeah. So one of the things that Taylor got to see was an experience that she had with a friend that was really hurtful. And you had an experience happen to you last year with a friend where your friend pretty much, like, decided that she was going to tell you everything that she never liked about you. Anybody ever have that encounter, that conversation? Somebody decides to tell you everything that they never liked about you. Those aren't fun. And it was really hurtful. Yeah. And so shortly after seeing your angel, you got to see that event through another lens. Can you describe what you saw happening when you had that conversation with your friend?
Well, it wasn't like me looking at it. It was like someone else looking at us. And
so you were watching it like a movie? You could see it like a movie, like you were viewing yourself and yeah. Someone else like it was a movie? Okay.
And I could see me and my friend, and I could see everybody in the school behind us. And behind me was my angel, and behind my friend was her angel and the enemy pushing. It was like a silhouette, like a shadow behind her, like pushing on her and yelling at her to say these things to me. And behind her, I could see the rest of the people in the school. And I could see enemies behind them also yelling at them. And I, like, when
so
I...
So there were, like, dark figures behind all these different kids at school pushing on them?
And, like, when I went to that school, there was just, like, a feeling that, like, the enemy was just pushing on that school, and you could just like feel it. It was just a negative environment.
And what did that do for your, because you'd been really hurt about your friend's words, what did it make you feel about that whole situation once you saw that picture?
Well, after I saw it, it made me feel really bad for my friend, because it wasn't her fault. Like, the enemy pushed on her, like, she couldn't make the decision. Like, it just happened, so it made me feel really bad for her.
So what I thought was really cool was that we'd never had this conversation before. Taylor hadn't really known how I had perceived things, and she was seeing things in a very similar way that I had seen things, which was that in our home, we were basically, I don't know anybody ever done this, abused each other in your own home, verbally. And what we hadn't really fully become aware of is that there was factors, atmospheres in our home pressing on us to feel in a certain way, to press on us, and if we would agree with it, it would press on us in such a way to then say the very things that we were feeling, to harm and hurt each other. One of the experiences I had that highlighted this the most to me was that when Abraham had colic, it caused my nervous system to kind of become totally discombobulated. In fact, I was having like auditory hallucinations after he was like about 9 months old, and I was hearing things that weren't actually real. And when he was then 2.5, 3 years old, I still would react to any of his whininess like I wanted to drop kick him across the room, just to be honest. And I remember having he would come in and go, "Mom, can I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich?" You know, and I'd be like, "Are you kidding me?" And I would just instantly just like, you know, be at like 10 of intensity, just over. And I remember asking the Lord, like, when is that gonna go away? When is that rush of adrenaline? When is that instant negative reaction ever gonna go away? And the Lord goes, "It's just a suggestion." And I was like, "It's just a suggestion." He goes, "You don't have to say yes to that sensation happening to your body." Now, that's not true for every person, and it's not true for every situation. It was true for my situation and my circumstance. But you might want to try it out. If you have this sensation that comes over you like that, it might just be a suggestion, and you might be able to say, "I say no to that suggestion," and it might flip just like that. If it doesn't, then God's doing something else, and he wants to show you something else. But it's incredible how quickly things can flip just like that when it's a suggestion. And so I remember him saying, I said, "When are you going to do this thing with Abraham? Because I'm now realizing that while this might be true about him, it is not the truth. He is not a whiny child who whines about everything. This is not going to be who he grows up to be. And by the way, we can't live with this. Our family cannot live with this." And so the Lord said to me, because I was now praying for like deliverance for my son, because this behavior was, how bad was it, Brett? I mean, it was bad. We all needed deliverance. And I remember saying, like, and I was praying over him, deliverance, you know? And the Lord goes, "Yeah, it's not going to go away." And I said, "How come?" And he says, "Open your eyes." And I looked at Abraham again, and I saw Abraham, and I saw a whiny little dark thing standing next to him. And then I saw an angel with a sword holding that whiny thing there. Now, I don't know if that's actually literally true. I just know that it was true in my perception, that I saw an angel holding that whiny thing in my house. And I said to the Lord, "I don't get it." And he says, "That's why it's whining. I won't let it leave." And I said, "Well, why is it in my house, and why won't you let it leave?" And he said, "Because I want to teach you how to rule and reign." Yeah. And he said, "If something doesn't just go away when you tell it to go, then it might be in your life because I'm teaching you how to rule and reign." What? Isn't that good news? You're like, "Oh, you mean that thing that I haven't been able to overcome? That thing that's been kicking my booty? That thing that's been in my house just knocking me around, or in my life knocking me around? You want to teach me how to rule and reign?" And so I said, "How do I do that?" And he says, "Well, who is your son, and how would you treat him if this thing wasn't causing him to behave in this way?" And I said, "Well, I know that his voice is," and this was Greg's, "his voice is clear and full of joy." And I'm going to thank you for sharing that. That's so good. Can you guys thank Taylor? I mean, that's like... So Taylor and her mom stayed up till like 4 o'clock in the morning, and then we've been talking for days and days since that happened. So if any of you guys want to ask her more about some of her really fun, cool experiences, about what her angel has taught her about the world and about life and living, you're welcome to ask her. I think it's a cool, neat thing that we are getting to experience God in new ways. So thanks for sharing that part of the story. So I was seeing the same thing with Abraham. I was also seeing the same kind of pressure happening on Greg, and I was starting to see the same kind of pressure happening on me. So the Lord said, how would you deal with this situation? And Greg came up with, who is it with Abraham? Yep, I'm going to finish.
Well, I said his voice is clear, filled with joy.
His voice is clear and filled with joy. So I'm going to treat him that way, even though he's behaving in another way. And so just 5 minutes later, he started whining, and I said, oh, Abraham, it sounds like you want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'm like calm. And I'm going to choose to treat him as he really is, not how he's behaving. And I remember sensing that little dark, whiny thing, spun around, looked up behind me, and said, that is not the deal we had. I turn to see, to sense behind me, a pressure on me to get me to abuse my son. That is not the deal we have. This presence presses on him to behave in a way. This presence presses on me to behave in a way. And the humans are pressed to abuse each other and to lock onto each other the conclusions and the assessments of who we really are not. Crazy, right? So how did I learn to overcome? I learned how to not agree with that thing pressing on me. I learned how to not agree with that thing pressing on him.
I declared all the time.
Greg declared all the time about who we are, who we really are. And we started to partner with the person of wisdom to see not just Abraham, not just Darby, not just each other, but many, many, many people in our life start to come into who God says they are because we had an agreement with God about. So that was the fun adventure, and that's kind of what this whole thing is all about, is opening up a space for families to learn how to come into greater agreements with God so that we can all start to expand an atmosphere where it is easy for people to see who they really are. Because I am telling you, how many of you have come into a revelation about who you are, right? I mean, you have come into a revelation of who you are. How much easier is it for you to walk in it once you see it? It's so much easier. What this adventure is about is opening up a space so that people can see themselves more clearly and they can see who God really is. And do it with families, with multi-generations. So that's kind of our deal. So on that, this is like the focus group part where you guys get to give feedback, and I shared a little longer than I expected. So we're going to... Jocelyn, thank you. I would love you guys to take a few minutes and fill out your feedback form. And I'm sorry we're running just a little bit late. We're going to try to like squeeze this last part in and get you out on time. But for those of you who are ready to go and want to share on the very front of your very first question, it's the idea or thought that impacted me the most about what was shared tonight. So anybody want to jump in and share? Yeah. The idea, thought, or teaching that impacted you the most tonight. Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to send four to the angel and umbrella that school and then drive to work.
is really cool.
Yeah, I
do
stuff
too. Yay! I love that. I love. Yay! Somebody else want to share a thought or idea that kind of was an aha moment for you?
Yeah. I think your experience with Abraham is probably similar to our experience with Abraham. And just hearing this idea that there's this other thing that's pushing him, pushing us, and connects a lot.
So. Oh, it's a big deal. You start to realize that the humans are the victims and the pressure is the abuser. It changes your perspective of what's really happening, and you start to realize, oh my goodness, these people are being pressed to abuse, for us to abuse each other, for our spouses to abuse each other, for parents to abuse kids to abuse parents. It awakens you to this whole new understanding of what you're really up against and then how you can overcome it. Thanks so much, Nathan. But anybody else want to share? Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Anybody else want to? Thank you. Greg and I were starting to realize that we were locking each other into the very bondage by continuing to talk about, focus on, and correct the thing that was true.
Yep. And next week,
yeah,
we're going to get a lot more into
how the great adventure of just undoing it, and the great adventure of overcoming. And our biggest surprise in that was how easy it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Not that we're all the way there yet. So.
No, but there's yeah. We would love for you, if you don't mind, to take enough time that you have to give us the feedback. We would love for you to rank the different things that we did today.
And that's on the backside.
We're trying to really have families have fun, interactive experiences. We're wanting to have a space where kids can learn alongside their parents. And then we're wanting to take that a little deeper with adults and a little deeper with kids. And then have a chance for us to practice, because I think that the number one way for any person to overcome difficulties in their life is to have a partnership with the Holy Spirit and to be able to hear God for themselves. It is going to make your kid the wisest kid in every room. It is going to make you the wisest person in every room. It is, I believe, the most transformational understanding is knowing what God's doing in any situation. And I will tell you this, I'm like always surprised. Like, what I think God's doing in a situation is rarely what he's actually doing. So, we are going to wrap. Oh, we're pretty close on time.
And our girls, Taylor and Darby.
What, are going to go bring out food? You're going to bring out food. And while we do that, no kids are released to get food yet, because what we're going to do is we're all going to practice hearing from God. And we are going to use a picture, although in the future we're going to find different ways. But today we're going to do a picture. So is there someone here who would like to hear from God?
What? Am I jumping ahead of you here?
No, you're good.
I'm good? Okay.
We're going to do the hearing God really quick with a picture. So is there anyone here who would go, you know what? I would like to hear from the Lord. I see Miss Steph has raised her hand. So bring your sweet Ellie up and Miss Steph. And Steph, do you want to pick your picture or do you want to have someone pick it for you? Okay. You want to, right there, go on back and pick your picture. Good job. Just grab one of those pictures right on the
table. I'm old enough to remember when that was in style.
What?
Dude, has that sucks. Ever gone out of style? I mean, when you dress...
She's gotten so big. So kids
and adults, I'm going to ask you to just ask the Holy Spirit to help you have a thought or a feeling or a fragrance or an emotion or a physical sensation that you could describe to Miss Steph. And this is where we get to practice. And guess what? We don't have to get it right. We just get to practice learning to hear from the Holy Spirit. So take a look at the picture and see if something jumps out to you in the picture. Okay? You got it? One thing should jump out to you. One or two or three things. We're going to ask you to look at the picture and see if one or two things jumps out to you in the picture.
I don't
think you should show it. Have you seen it? Okay. One or two things that jump out. When you get what it is that jumps out to you, maybe it's the color, maybe it's a detail in the picture. What you then do is you ask God, what does that mean? What does that mean? And you'll probably have a thought about what it means. If you can write it down, so grab a card in the bucket if you want to write it down. Lots of people have been doing that instead of sharing in the group. So please make sure that you grab a card and write your thoughts down. Who's ready to go? Who's ready to start? Could you look at it and then would you take it on the back row? And we're not showing stuff in here, are we? Okay, Greg's starting.
If you want to, you can walk all the way down this thing and all the way back up, or you can turn to your left and take two big steps up and be right on top of the thing on your left and be right there. So you can take the long way,
the handicap route,
or you can take a shortcut. And either way, you're going to get there. That's what I'm sensing right now.
And that's a really good word. And by the way, I'm so impressed, babe, because when we first started doing this practice with Greg, he was like, I don't get words, I don't get pictures, I don't want to do this thing. I said, well, we'll practice if you just sit there nicely, it'll be all fine. So that's my guy who just went from I don't get words to getting one word, to getting a sentence, to getting a paragraph.
That's all you get.
And his first one up. That's how the practice is. Isn't that important? Okay.
I'm just totally confirming to what Greg had said for your decision, and what you're trying to do is to run like the gun goes off, and to just run as fast as you can, like you're in a race, and just jump off. Like, don't hesitate at all. So you can take the long way.
That's so crazy.
But it would be.
Anyone else
up here
right now?
Or,
yep, Dan's right. Okay. Thanks, Dan.
So mine was, when I looked at it from afar away, it looked like it was a very long journey ahead of you. Like, it's not going to be easy. But then when I got closer, I realized there were a lot of green. There's a lot of greenery coming up from the side. And what that represented for me was don't take shortcuts. The grass is not greener on the other side. Stay your course. Be patient. Run several times.
That's really good. She'll respond in a moment.
Joy, you need some buckles, by the way.
When I was thinking of Neely, when I was seeing the boards on the boardwalk, I was just feeling the ruggedness of them, like how there's splinters, and that can be really painful. And I said, especially if you're walking or running barefoot toward the adventure that's directly ahead of you. And there might be pain in the adventure ahead, but it's obviously the route to go.
Okay. That's good. Anyone else here want to share? No, not yet. Okay. The gym, we'll start with the gym on that pick. Okay.
So
So along with Dan, the green vegetation stuck out to me in that picture, whereas the rest of the picture is fairly neutral colors, the boardwalk, the sand, and then there was the bright green vegetation on the side sticking out. So the words that popped in to my mind, the first one was life, like with an exclamation point, just, and then it was bright and vibrant life, and so I think that's, there's beauty in that, you know, in what can somewhat be monotony, bright and vibrant life surrounding you and in you.
I believe I smell eucalyptus. I just think of it. Eucalyptus.
She smells eucalyptus. Cool.
So in the picture, there's a long walk. And when I saw like the back of the photo, just like the plain blue, I saw like the shadow, and it looked like the shape of a cup. And so like if you want to like walk to the water and like fill the cup with like the holy water, you don't have to walk all the way because you're already there.
So it's a straight walk to the calm waters, but it's beautiful on the other, well, on the side. So it kind of draws your attention, but you just need to stay straight forward and keep your eyes on the water.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Everybody's so crazy.
So kind of like Bianca, I had the idea of like run. Like it's not a, like you're not like a, taking a leisurely stroll, but not like an athletic run, but like wee. That was the first word that came to my mind. When we were in Italy and the kids were babies, it would be so fun to be on a boat and drive past all the docks because you always see the kids like waiting for the boats to pass by and then they go jump in the wave. And it's that wee and then run and jump off. So fun.
It's fun to swim in the pool and like the ocean.
That's good, thank you.
When I first saw it from afar, the boardwalk went straight into the ocean. That's what I thought. So my thought was just jump into the deep. Like just go off the deep end, not in a bad way, but like just go all out for it.
That seems to be very compelling.
The first thing I saw was just a pier and the pillars that are just anchored down in the sand. And you're like a pier where those waves can just pound you and pound you. But God's given you just a peace in the season that you're in, just a peace that no matter the wave, no matter what hits you, you'll be able to go across shoulders, you'll be able to take it. It's just peace.
So the first word that came up was freedom. But the path is wide open and the ride is endless.
What? Does Taylor want? Okay. We'll end here, but anyone else who has a word, please share it with her afterwards. Okay.
Okay, so in the picture there's this like small little like leaves coming onto the bridge. And I was thinking, like, during your life, people or things are going to try to be negative towards you and try to attack you, but you're not going to let them.
Or sorry.
And you're going to, like, stop them and stay positive. And even if there is a negative, like, pressure, you're only going to let it be small to the rest.
That's so good. You sure if that means to you?
Every single word means a lot to me, actually. Even the picture. I grew up in Michigan, sand dunes and docks and lakes. Even Taylor, just you had that experience with your friend who told you everything I didn't like about you, and that happened to me last night. And by someone that we're making a lot of decisions. I'm making a lot of decisions right now to be free and to run instead of take the long way. And I tend to want to take the long way when it comes to working with people because I give people every single chance to my detriment, even beyond like when the Lord is saying, why don't you run? I'm like, well, what if I walk instead? You know, like, that's, like, it keeps people more comfortable if I'm walking. And so I really appreciate everybody's words because it's confirming what I, a decision I plan to, that I've made today that I have a conversation tonight to have, and it's extremely well timed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes. I want to thank you guys for being so patient. I know we ran a little over, but let's just pray for staff and we'll close and we'll have a couple of announcements and then anyone is welcome to go or welcome to do some more prophetic practice or hearing God practice or eat. But in this moment, Lord, I just feel like I am just soaking in that so many people in this room so easily heard your voice. And Lord, it is just as easy for us to hear your voice for ourselves as it is to hear it for other people. It truly is. So Lord, I thank you that you are proving to us how easy it is to hear your voice. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you would give that many specific words to Steph. So we just agree with every good word that was spoken. We agree with your angelic host that is with Steph right now in these circumstances. We agree with the magnificence that you made Steph to be and every other person in this. And we also agree with the encouragement that you had in it, that Steph, you have and you are the strength to run and to take the short path. We agree with every good thing that was spoken today for you to be able and empowered in every way. Lord, I thank you that we are the salt, we are the light, and we are the goodness in the earth. So may we all be released to be goodness in our week, to be goodness in the light, in your name.